The Bible reading is on page 820. And it's Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 15. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. If we've never met before, my name is Matt, and it's privileged to be opening up God's Word with you this morning. I almost wasn't going to because I've had a bit of a rough week. I've got a bit of a crook neck, just putting our daughter's Christmas present together of a trampoline. Thanks, Santa. That was wonderful. But yeah, it's good to be here and opening up this part of God's Word with you. Please forgive me. There is a little point if you want to squeeze it in after the intro, after the in. Just squeeze in there the focus of unthankfulness. The focus of unthankfulness. And how about we pray as we come to look at this part of God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word and thank you that we get to look at it now, and thank you that you speak to us through your word. Father, we know that in this fallen and broken world that we still reject you as the king in our life. But Father, we know that the promise from your word that when we confess our sins, you forgive us. Father, help us to think through this sin of unthankfulness, to think about the times that we often do it in our own life, and to know when to turn away and ask you for forgiveness. Father, please be opening our eyes, our minds, and our hearts now as we look at your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you've probably heard by now, we've done it. We have beaten the Poms. That's right, we've reclaimed the number one position over the British. The trophy is ours once again. We've done it. Kudos to us, eh? It's a good feeling to claim victory over the old arch enemy, isn't it? But, you know, I'm not too sure that we'll want to hang on to this title for very long that we've taken from the Brits. I'm not sure that we really wanted this award in the first place, because, in case you're wondering, I'm not talking about the Ashes, the cricket. No. That was easy. You know, 4-0, test defeat, that's done and dusted. I'm not talking about the Ashes. I'm not talking about the Rugby League World Cup either. You know, last year we edged out England. The award that I'm talking about that we've snatched from the British is the award for being the best whingers. When it comes to us Aussies up against Britain, we are the number one country when it comes to complaining. We are the champions, my friends, of whinging. True story. There was this recent survey of 1,000 Aussies and 1,000 British people, and they were asked to give a score out of 10 on how much they appreciated their homeland and the things that were available to them. As it turns out, the Aussies that were surveyed rated 6 out of 10, and the Brits scored 7.4 out of 10. Now, these results kind of prompted journalists to then conclude that us Aussies, who have the strongest economy in the developed world, we are officially the biggest whingers. Survey says, we are whingers. Now, I think the question begs to be asked here, How on earth has this happened? How has it come to this? How have we taken this award from the British? I mean, you know, they're famous for being called whinging poms. Aren't us Aussies supposed to be living in the lucky country? You know, we sing about it. Our land abounds in nature's gifts of beauty, rich and rare. And what I've heard about the UK is that they have miserable weather, lousy beaches and warm, fuzzy beer. It's not really on the places that I really want to go and visit. How has it happened that us Aussies have taken the cake as the greatest global whingers? I think really the problem is that, you know, having a whinge, having a bit of a sook about something, it's just become part and parcel of our Aussie culture. It's something that we've just accepted into our Aussiness. Where, you know, once we were described as a knockabout nation, you know, go with the flow, just kind of roll with the punches. Now, everything seems to be a drama. Everything seems to be a drama. And I'd hazard a guess that each of us in this room have fallen trap to the Aussie culture of just having a whinge. And perhaps for some of us, like me, it's just become the norm. Now, whether it's been some kind of rant on Facebook that Woolworths is selling hot crust buns on Boxing Day, what a tragedy. Whether it's, you know, getting something off your chest in the lunchroom about some monotonous task that you're asked to do, or whether it's just kind of having a bit of a grumble in your DNA small group that's just way too hot to read the Bible, I'm sure there have been times where we've all been unthankful. And I think I need to say from the get-go that if there was an individual event for being the most ungrateful, I'd hold the world record. And I can see my wife smiling and nodding at the back. And she'd probably award me the medal. Now, it's not good, is it? It's not good. You see, the truth of the matter is that unthankfulness, well, it's a sin. Now, something I need to get straight from the get-go is that when we're thinking about unthankfulness, you know, having a whinge, just grumbling, I'm not referring to, you know, making a formal complaint about something. Now, there are obviously very necessary times where that needs to happen, where you need to lodge a formal complaint. If you're experiencing bullying at school, even at uni or in the workplace, a formal complaint needs to be made and needs to be heard and needs to be responded to. You know, you may have seen the slogan on social media this week, or even in the news, to speak up even if your voice shakes. Now, there is a necessary time for that, but that's not what I'm talking about when we're thinking about the sin of unthankfulness. Because when we take a step back, when we think about what is the focus of unthankfulness, what's at the heart of this respectable sin, well, really, it's us, isn't it? The focus of unthankfulness is us. It's thinking everything that I have, well, it's from me. It's from my hands. At the heart of unthankfulness, really, is not giving God the honour that he deserves for the provision that he's given us of things like food and water, our bed to sleep in at night, life itself. It's not giving God the honour that he deserves for all the spiritual blessings, you know, the things that he's given to us in his son Jesus that we'll hear about in a minute. Quite simply, the focus of unthankfulness is taking God for granted. And so what are we to do? How do we break the chain? How do we stand against this tide of our Aussie culture where it just seems to become the norm to have a bit of a whinge, to be unthankful? As followers of Jesus, how do we go from being people who are known for having a whinge, being unthankful, to overflowing with thankfulness? We get the answer. God, in his word, he shows us the foundation to being a people who overflow with thankfulness, the foundation. And God in his word shows us the features of being a people who overflow with thankfulness. He shows what it looks like in everyday life. So let's think this through a bit more as we open up this part of the Bible. And now what we have in front of us in the Bible here is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a bunch of Christians in Colossae. And he writes to remind them of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for them. He writes that because Jesus has become their Saviour and Lord, well, what should mark them as Christians, what should be a key characteristic in their life is that of a grateful heart. It's thankfulness. At the end of verse 7 there in chapter 2, we read that Paul writes, these Colossian Christians are to overflow. They're to overflow with thankfulness. That is, they're to spill out with thankfulness. It's as if Paul says that when people down the street bump into these Colossian Christians, well, what's going to spill out from them is thankfulness. Paul mentions thankfulness a number of times in Colossians. He goes on about, you know, giving thanks to God the Father. We thank you as we remember you. A number of times. I haven't had a chance to count them, but they're there. And so let's consider the foundation, then, of this thankfulness, of what it is that brings this thankfulness to spill over. We'll have a look there, verse 6 of chapter 2. Paul writes to these Christians in Colossae, verse 6, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught." Now from this verse, Paul really takes the Christians in Colossae back in time. He kind of jumps into the old DeLorean, you know, from the Back to the Future movies, and he goes back to this momentous event. Paul's already mentioned in chapter 1 of how the gospel, the good news of Jesus, how it was taken to these people in Colossae, how they heard it, how they understood God's grace in all its truth. You see, Paul is talking about the moment that these Christians in Colossae put their trust in Jesus. He's talking about their conversion. This is their party day. He describes a time where they were heading in a certain direction in life, a dangerous one that was leading to a head-on collision with the judgment they deserved for rejecting God. But when they heard the good news of Jesus, well, they went the opposite way. They followed Jesus and they lived in light of what Jesus had done for them. You see, they believed the message that the good news, that Jesus was the one that the entire Old Testament looked forward to. The message that Jesus was despised and rejected by people, that he was betrayed, he was hung up on a cross. And there on the cross, Jesus took the penalty for the sin for all of us, for all humanity, for our rejection of God as King. And the message that if men and women would turn to trust in Jesus, well, they would know peace with God. And so there were numbers of people in Colossae who turned to trust in Jesus, having understood the message of what he had done for them, and they lived in light of that. Often when I'm explaining something to our oldest daughters, our two eldest daughters, you know, I often thought, oh good, they seem to understand what I've said. You know, I've explained, you know, it's probably not like a wise idea to go and jump on the trampoline in the middle of the day in 39 degree heat, because you're going to get very hot. They go, yes, yes, Dad, okay. And I think, oh, good, they've understood the message that I've just communicated. That's good. That is after a minute, and I look out the window, and they're there, jump, 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 jumping on the trampoline. I think, no, they really haven't understood the message. Maybe it was something that I just couldn't communicate or something, I don't know. Now, they haven't understood that message, but these people in Colossae, they've understood a message that's much more important than not jumping on a trampoline in the middle of the day. They have understood the good news story of Jesus. And I wonder if that's something that you've understood, the good news of Jesus. Do you understand the good news that Jesus came down to earth for us, that he lived the kind of life that we should live, but we can't, that he died the death that we deserve to die, but we didn't? Have you understood this good news, this good news story of Jesus in all its truth? If you have you understood the wonderful transformation that's taken place in your life? You see, through this letter, Paul gives a before and after shot of what has happened for these Christians in Colossae. He gives an insight of what they were like before they put their trust in Jesus and what they were like after they received Jesus as Lord. There from verse 13, chapter 2, from verse 13 and chapter 2, it says, when you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. See the kind of before and after shots that are going on there? Once dead in sin, spiritually dead, now alive in Christ. And that written code that's talked about there, it's like this business term for a bond, you know, kind of an IOU, a debt that we have, that we've got to pay because of our sin. So we have this debt, but now, after, because of Jesus, cancelled. Elsewhere, Paul says here that we were alienated from God. We were enemies in our minds because of our evil behaviour. And he says that back in verse 21 of chapter 1. Alienated from God, enemies in our minds because of our evil behaviour. What a lovely trilogy of awfulness. Alienated. You know, cut off from God. Enemies to God with our minds, intellectually. And because of our evil behaviour, because of our lives that reject God as King. That's the before shot. But now, the aftershot, because of Jesus, reconciled to God. We're brought back to have relationship with God. Elsewhere, Paul says, in verse 13 of chapter 1, once in the dominion of darkness. Nothing good happens there. It's just heading for destruction. That's the before shot. The after shot, now rescued into the kingdom of light, looking forward to a great inheritance. You see this wonderful transformation that's taken place when you put your trust in Jesus? So have you understood the good news, the message of Jesus in all its truth? I don't think we can really see that this before and after shot is just like some kind of New Year's resolution, right? About now, you know, the New Year's resolutions are starting to wear off. The gyms are starting to lose clientele because the first 2 weeks the gym is the busiest place in the first 2 weeks of the year. This is no New Year's resolution here in Colossians. It's not like, I just need to give my life a bit of a revamp. I need to turn over a new leaf or something. This year I'm going to look after myself. I'm not going to eat McDonald's. I'm going to be more healthy this year than last year. Now this before and after shot, it's not some kind of resolution. It's not like, oh, last year I seemed a bit alienated from God. This year I might kind of be reconciled to God. Now, last year I seemed to be an enemy in my mind. Oh, I might kind of be more for God. It's not a resolution, but a revolution of what God does in us when we trust in his Son, Jesus. You see, when you've turned to trust in Jesus, God has moved in and taken up residence. God has become the foundation. We were once a certain way, but now changed into a totally different way. We were once all those things before that we just read, before trusting in Jesus, but now after trusting in Jesus, we're totally transformed. And you see, one of the key characteristics of how much God has changed someone through Jesus is that of thankfulness. You see, having a whinge, just kind of having a bit of a grumble, being ungrateful, it really just doesn't match up with what God has done for us in giving Jesus to die on the cross. You know, having a whinge, you know, being unthankful, well, it doesn't match up with what God does in us when we trust in his Son Jesus. You see, what Paul writes in Colossians is, since you've turned to Jesus, even though you were once alienated, you know, separated from God, now reconciled, once dead in sin, now alive, once owing this huge debt to pay for your sin, was now cancelled. And so living in unthankfulness, it really just doesn't match up. Living an unthankful life is really more the hallmark, the trademark of an unbeliever. Now, sure, it's going to happen at times. Now, it's not impossible for us as Christians to just kind of fall back into unthankfulness, fall back into the Aussie way of life. But when we find ourselves heading that way, slumping back into that unthankfulness, well, really the only solution is to hand that over to God, ask for his forgiveness and ask to change us. And for us to know how ridiculous it is to just live those ungrateful lives. Jesus has died for us. You see, Paul's call to the Christians in Colossae to overflow with thankfulness, it comes from receiving Jesus, from trusting in him. That's the foundation of their thankfulness. And the thankfulness that's the overflow from us was from that same good news that Jesus has given up his life on the cross in our place. And now living in us, changing us from that direction that we were once heading. That's where thankfulness flows from. That's the foundation. What Jesus has done for us and the change that happens in us through him. You see, it would be a terrible, terrible tragedy if we just kind of walked out of here this morning and thought, you know what, it just seems to be going on about just going from ungrateful to thankful. That's what I've got to do. I've just got to just stop being unthankful and somehow just be thankful when I walk out of here. You know, just got to stop this whinging, stop this grumbling, this moaning, and then I'm just going to start being thankful. That would be a tragedy to think of that, because that's what's not being said here. That's the thankfulness that's coming really from the wrong place. You see, if we went out from here this morning and thought, I just got to somehow not be ungrateful and just start being thankful, well, that's really just doing something because, you know, you think you're just made to do it. It's kind of like when I was growing up, and you might have had this experience as well. When I'd ask my parents for something, usually their response was, well, say the magic words. And of course, we all know what the magic words are. Please, thank you. And so after my parents would say that, you know, say the magic words, I'd just kind of stand there, please, say the magic words, thank you. That's what I had to say. And that's what I had to say. And then they'd give it to me. It's obviously something that's going to backfire too, isn't it? I remember asking my parents something and they said, no, you can't take the car for a drive around the block, you're only 10. And my response was, well, I said the magic words, come on, give me the keys. You know, it's going to be a place for teaching manners and being polite and all that, but just kind of making someone be thankful, well, that's not really true thankfulness. It's coming from the wrong place, isn't it? It's just kind of like if we walked out of the door and thought, oh, I just got to stop being unthankful and just be thankful. You see, the thankfulness that's to overflow from us is from the good news of Jesus' death on the cross, of him living in us. He is the foundation of our thankfulness. So if that's the foundation, then it comes from all that Jesus has done and all that he does in us. What are the features? How is our thankfulness expressed? What does overflowing with thankfulness look like in everyday life? Well, really, this is where the rubber hits the road. The features of overflowing with thankfulness, well, they're really seen in thankfulness to God for others in every circumstance. The features, thankfulness to God for others and in all circumstances. In all of Paul's letters in the New Testament, there's always this phrase that pops up in what Paul writes. He always says, we always thank God. We always thank God. We always thank God for you. And it usually happens at the start of the letter, and it does here in chapter 1 of Colossians. He says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We always thank God. We always thank God. That's the phrase. And the next part that comes is the prayer that Paul prays for others. And so the end of verse 1, he says, we pray for you because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. You see, overflowing with thankfulness, it turns our gaze, our focus, to where it should be. It turns our eyes away from ourselves and towards God. I wonder if that's a feature in your life. What is it that dominates your prayers? Perhaps the things that dominate your prayers are more just looking into you, focused on you. You see, overflowing with thankfulness turns our prayers, our focus, from ourselves to who God is, what he's done for us, and it turns our gaze towards others and being thankful for those that God has given around us to encourage us to follow Jesus, to thank God for their love and how they're following Jesus. Now, I think we can often learn from the prayers of little ones, can't we? Their focus of prayers is really just anything they see. It's just kind of like, dear God, thank you for biscuits. Dear God, thank you for the person that just talked to me. Dear God, thank you for fly screens. You know, they just kind of look around, and in fact, maybe we can learn something from their prayers as they're thankful to God for all these things and for others that they just had contact with during the day. So there's the first couple of features of our thankfulness. Thankfulness to God and what he's given us in Jesus, and thankfulness for others. The other feature of our thankfulness is really seen in every circumstance. There's this wonderful promise in Ephesians 5:20 where Paul writes there, that we're to give thanks always and for everything. Always and everything. You see, Paul says there in Ephesians that this is just taking a step back and looking at everything that God has provided us with here on earth. His earthly provision for us. And it's the food, the water, the life itself. And it's looking at the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. You see, this is actually what God wants from those who know how much Jesus has done. It's not giving God the honour he deserves for everything he's given us. That's sin. Not giving God the honour he deserves for what he's given us. That's an insult to God. And so do you give thanks always and for everything? You often step back at the end of your long day at work, or perhaps a long day in the workplace. It's a long day of looking after kids. And you take time to say thanks to God. The thanks that you can have that opportunity to work, to be there in that workplace, to be there with your kids. Do you ever go through your house and just kind of see the things you have and give thanks for God's provision in all those things? At dinner time, do you kind of just do this routine thing? Bless this mess, amen. Or do you give this heartfelt thanks for his provision of what you need? You see, taking for granted all these earthly provisions that God has given us, all these spiritual blessings that God has given us in Jesus, failing to give God thanks always and for everything, that's just taking God for granted, isn't it? You see, we can and we should give thanks to God always and for everything. But what about when situations don't turn out the way that we hoped? Is there actually scope for us giving thanks to God in that? We just kind of, grit our teeth. We give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks to you. Can we actually give thanks? Can we actually overflow with thankfulness in those difficult situations? Well, the answer is a resounding yes. I think you heard this read at the start from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You see, the instruction is that we can give thanks in all those circumstances, even those that we might not feel thankful about. Now, how on earth is that to happen? Do we do it through gritted teeth? Do we just kind of spew out thanks like there's some kind of volcano when someone asks how you're going and you're in this tough situation? It's kind of like, I'm thankful, thanks for asking, I'm thankful for everything, blah, blah. Well, no, because we can give thanks even in the tough stuff, the tough circumstances and situations, because we have this wonderful promise that God works for the good of those that love him. God works for the good of those who love him. And what is the good? Well, it's to be made in the likeness of God's Son, Jesus. You see, even in these circumstances and situations that don't turn out the way that we hoped, we can give God thanks that he will use that situation to grow us, to become more like Jesus. We might not see it at the time. And that's not going to say that the situation is going to be easy. It's not going to be hurtful. It's not going to be upsetting. There's not going to be any pain. But we can give thanks, and God's will for us in that is to bring us into the likeness of his Son, Jesus. This week, I reckon it's amazing how you just learn these lessons, I think, that God is teaching you to be thankful. I've had a crook neck for a few days, and I haven't been thankful about anything. I was just like laid up. It was awful. But I think somewhere between the painkillers and the heat packs, I could just look around and think about all these provisions that God has given. He's given wonderful medical experts to care for this injury. He's given all these things, all these provisions around, like a bed for me just to lay flat on my back. I can look at an iPad and listen to things. He's given people to send messages. How are you going? Have you thought about seeing a chiropractor? Have you thought about laying flat on your back? All these things, people sending messages and caring, and all these provisions And here I am grumbling and whinging and just needed to take a step back and see what God has done for me in Jesus and to see the earthly provisions that he's provided. It would have cost a fortune in, you know, medicine if I'd lived in the States. I would have, like, had no money this week. These earthly provisions that God has given us, these are wonderful things that we can be thankful for. And we can be thankful for what especially God has done for us in Jesus, a foundation of our thankfulness. So are you a thankful person? Do you give God thanks for the earthly provisions that he's provided, food, water, life itself? Are you a thankful person for how God has changed you and the direction you were going, but through Jesus has transformed you into the likeness of his son Jesus? Do you give thanks? Are you a thankful person? What are some habits that you can develop to have heartfelt thanks? Not habits just to kind of go, okay, I've just got to remember now, I've got to go from here, be ungrateful, to be thankful. But to develop a heartfelt thanks because of what God has done for us in Jesus. You might like to sign up to the Thank God It's Friday email thing if that started. You might even want to do something like start a thankfulness book or a thankfulness jar where it helps remind you of what God has done for you, what he gives you, and what he's done for you in Jesus. We Jasmine started this thankfulness journal thing. We were at a church once and there was a series on thankfulness, and Jasmine thought it was a good idea to start this. And there was things in here like, I'm thankful for the sun and the breeze. I'm thankful for meeting new people in the community. Oh, there's even one here that says, I'm thankful for Matt, who has helped me with things. There you go. It's a bit old, and so it hasn't happened for a while. You know, I like to start something like that. It's forming habits of heartfelt thanks for what God has done for you, for what he has given to you in earthly provisions, and what he has given to you in his son Jesus. Now, you might want to commit to memory these verses about giving thanks always and in everything. The promise that God works for the good of those who love him in those really difficult situations. How will you form habits for heartfelt thanks? Because of who God is, because of what he has given us in earthly provisions, and especially what he's done for us in his son Jesus. How about we pray that we would be thankful people? Let's talk to God. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for who you are. We give you thanks that you are the creator and the sustainer of life. Father God, we give you thanks for giving up your son Jesus to take the penalty that we deserved for our sin. We give you thanks that when our trust is in Jesus, you work in us. You transformed us. You've brought us into relationship with you. You've brought us from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light. Father, we thank you for all these things. Help us to live lives that are overflowing with thankfulness, to go from here and think about what it looks like to give thanks to you, to give thanks for others, and to give thanks in every circumstance. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.